You don't know what your next step is, and that's fine. Like, just know that you have a next step, but dwell in what you're, the step that God's put you in right now, the chapter of your life that he's put you in, and grow in it and learn from it, because yeah, there's going to be a next step. Hello, welcome back to Unscripted Scripture. We are here. We always say we are here. I'm too loud apparently, or Jack is just like doing the little hand motions in the background like I'm singing at a concert. I am okay now. Jack is my co-host, everyone. Abby is my producer. I am here.
I'm Zach. Producer.
Our producer.
I'm Jack.
Yeah, he's
this
Jack.
Is Unscripted Scripture.
Jack, I already told him that. Him that early on. Well, we're here now. Like
yes,
we just here. Said, because I always say we're here. Maybe that's like our icebreaker. We say, we're here. So we're here.
Yep.
All right. So today we are talking about the good next step.
Reason
we're doing this is because Jack thinks because I'm getting married that we need to talk about the next step because I'm taking the next step in my life.
I think it's good because it's probably heavy on your heart right now. You know, I'm starting a new job and things like that.
I'm
finishing school. So I thought it'd be cool to kind of talk about where our minds, our hearts are at in regard to, you know, next steps in our life and how do we balance that? How do we come about taking that jump and taking that leap? Because a lot of people could be listening right now that, you know, are in the middle of a big transition in their life and they're having trouble, you know, getting off the front porch. And we need to, I don't know, I thought we could just talk about what does it take to, you know, take that leap of faith and not knowing what's coming next. So I thought it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know?
It is cool. You know what, Jack? It is cool. And we're going to have fun with it.
We are going to have fun.
I always like to flex that I'm getting married. By the time this comes out, like right now it's 8 days and a couple of hours. I posted on my Instagram. You can go follow me. Oh, shout out me. I think when we post it, it'll probably be like, what, 6 days? 5 days? What? It's pretty crazy when you can see, you go on the weather app, the Apple weather app, and you can see your wedding day is on like the weather app. And that's when you know it's close.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that is, Jack, it is crazy.
Yeah.
But guys, I just want to tell everyone, you'll never guess who my best man is. Jack, do you want to tell him who my best man is?
Oh, I think I'm your best man, bro.
No, it's Abby. It's Abby. Don't lie to everyone.
Seriously.
Not
producer.
Funny. Sorry. It's Jack, everyone. Uh-huh. Jack is my best man. How could I pick anyone else? I mean, I got two brothers.
Yeah,
they were kind of butthurt about the whole thing, but it's all right. I got Jack.
I feel so honored. No, I feel really honored. So what kinds of like emotions are you feeling? Because we're in like, this is the week before. What kinds of emotions are going through your mind right now?
Yeah, so it's an odd time because I'm like really close to my family, but I love my fiance, love Jacqueline. So it's hard to be like, okay, I'm supposed to say goodbye to you guys and then start a new life with her. So I guess that's where I'm at, like trying to wrap up everything with the family. I'm going through everyone that's talked to me. They're like, oh, it doesn't matter how much time you spend with your family. You're going to miss them. It's going to be a different change for you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I guess that's it. I'm excited to spend every day with my wife. But Jacqueline is afraid that I'm going to run back to mommy.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I guess I'm just going through that. It doesn't help that your house is 2 minutes away from both of the parents. So I think that'll be a struggle, but that would be something we'll talk about when we get there.
Yeah, it's something you'll be praying through, I'm sure, and your parents probably understand the transition, and it's not just going to be one way where you're wanting to be with them sometimes. Like, they're going to obviously miss you, but I think,
yeah.
I mean, I can't speak for a married couple, but I'm sure the reward is a lot greater, you know, taking that, going through those, like homesickness, I would say.
Yeah.
So,
I'm not worried, dude. Like, do you know what comes with marriage? I know what comes with marriage, so I'm not worried.
I have no idea.
I'm not actually, there. Yeah. Maybe I don't yet. I went through counseling, so that's probably prepared me.
Yeah.
But anyways, I don't know. Something else that I feel like I've been going through is, I guess this is a deep dive, but, you know, for the first, like, 3 months before this, I was like, oh, get to have sex. I said it on the podcast. This is a podcast.
Yeah.
Abby is not happy that I said that. The hand just went straight to the head.
Oh, man, Abby. But come on, sex. Grow up.
Sex, Abby. Yeah. Sex.
No, it's definitely a scary thing. It can be scary, but it's also like you're looking forward to it because it's what God had designed it for in the first place, is to enjoy it. The confines of marriage.
Well, yeah, okay. But where I was going with it was, I think 3 months ago, I was like, oh, like, that's all my mind was on.
Yeah.
And it kind of scared me because I was like, am I only getting married for the sex? And that scared me. And then I was like, the 1 month and 2 months since then, my mind has been like, I am not getting married. This girl is amazing. Like, I can't wait to, you know, get home from work and see her at home, or wake up next to her, or just laugh and do life together. Yeah. So that was another thing I guess I went through, just to answer your question. But yeah.
That's cool. Big stuff coming. But yeah, and I think now maybe we can jump into a little scripture. Throw some verses at you.
We got to.
At the audience. When we're looking at, like, we got big things coming up, and we're not really sure how to approach it. There's a ton of scripture we can turn to. We're going to be looking. I have stuff in the Old Testament. I got stuff in the New Testament. And how do we, like, look to God for those answers on how to face this next step, you know, because that's ultimately – who we should be turning to, right? So I guess I'll just turn to John 14 when with Jesus, and he's this is the time when Judas had betrayed him, and he's speaking to the disciples, the Last Supper, and he's saying, my father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? So basically the context here, like, Jesus is telling them that he's going to die. And these disciples are super lost because for so long, all they've done is follow Jesus. And now he's leaving them and they're scared on what's happening next. Like, what are we going to do next? You were our light. You were everything we followed, and the path that came before us was from you. So what do we do now? And they're just really scared. So he's kind of comforting them. And this is just a great verse, man. And so he says that if I go, I prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. So he tells them, you know the way. You know the way where you're going. This next jump in your life, you know the place where I am going. And then we go over to verse 5, and Thomas is saying, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And then crucial verse here, 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that's the way to heaven. That is the pathway to every decision, every jump in life. Is Jesus is the way. When you're unsure about what's next in your life, when you're unsure about what's going to happen. Just know that regardless of whatever happens in the world, Jesus is there. He's the pathway. He's the light to whatever decision is coming next. So don't think of yourself as being lost, because you can't be lost if he's right there with you. So that's a really cool verse. Did you have that one? Because I was kind of curious.
I didn't, because I was like, we just did it because of the Easter thing. Easter, right? But yeah, Jack, that's great. So how are you bringing in – so you got this new job, and you – how's that helping you? How's that verse helping you? You say Jesus is the way.
That verse is basically telling me, like, no matter – you know, I'm starting this new job in June, and I'm pumped for it. But I also don't know what trials and what challenges are going to come with it. I know there's going to be some. And so how am I going to cope with that? How am I going to deal with that? And then how am I going to balance my relationship through that with Jenna and all these things that, like, huge lifestyle change. You know, college is gone. I'm entering the real world for real. And how do I know which way is the right way to go and what decisions are the right decisions to make? But 14:6 tells me that Jesus is the decision. Jesus is the He's the path to that next step in life. And even if you don't know specifically, like, what job you want to get, what school you want to go to, all you need to know is that I want to go where Jesus is, and I want to follow him. And he tells Thomas here, he's like, just follow me and you'll know the way. You already know it because you've been following me. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's telling him that, dude, I'm right here. Like, I'm right here, man. And it goes on. We talked about it Easter, like when Philip was like asking him, show us the Father and that'll be enough. And he gets kind of mad at him. He's like, dude, I am the Father. The Father's in me.
Right.
Like, why are you looking elsewhere? I'm right here. So it's that relief and that comfort that he's saying to the disciples. You don't have to be afraid of what's coming next, because I'm all you need. It's really, really cool.
No, it is. And I think, well, what I was going to ask you was a question, but I don't remember the question. I think if you take it the other way, yeah, we're talking about how Jesus is the way, but if we think of Jesus, there was an unknown amount of time where, to our knowledge, Jesus didn't do any, like, he didn't do any miracles. He was just learning. Like, and maybe you're in that time of life where you don't know what your next step is, and that's fine. Like, just know that you have a next step, but dwell in what you're, the step that God's put you in right now, the chapter of your life that he's put you in, and grow in it and learn from it, because, yeah, there's going to be a next step.
That age, like, a matter of time. 12 to, like, 30, we have no idea what he processed. And the bulk of the people listening to us are that age group, young adults, 20-year-olds.
I know.
That's the part.
Like, why could you not put that in the Bible?
Dude, like, we have to interpret so much about Jesus' life based on his 12-year-old self and his 30-year-old self. But he could have gone, he's going through the same stuff we went through. He's human. He's a man. Mm-hmm. And he had to struggle with not knowing when that time would come. But all he knew was, I'm going to glorify God with whatever I'm doing. I'm a carpenter. I'm going to glorify God through my carpentry. And that was his goal. That was his right then. He was content right then, knowing that greater things are coming for me, whether it's on earth or in heaven, greater things are coming for me. And he held that through until God said, now you got to start your ministry. 30 years old, now you got to start it. And he ran with it. He ditched carpentry and he's like, I'm going to run with it. So I like what you said there about that.
Thank you.
Big verse.
Go ahead.
Okay. A big verse that, like, we talk about a lot through youth group is Jeremiah 29:11. I got to throw it out there because it's just a big, awesome one from Jeremiah. Stand, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And mind you, these things that the prophecies that they say and all these things that the people in the Old Testament prepared for, some of that stuff never happened in their lifetime, but they held true to the faith that they had believed in and brought up in, and they were rewarded prosperity eventually in heaven. But not all of them were rewarded that prosperity in life. So, you know, Hebrews 11 is another big chapter in the Bible. All these people that were commended for their faith yet didn't see the promises that God had for them. They didn't know what was coming next. They didn't know when the Messiah was coming, but they held strong to it, you know. And I think that's what Jeremiah is kind of saying is, God knows what's coming. He has it all mapped out in the stars. You don't know, but it's all for your good, right?
Right. And I want to kick it back to the New Testament in Hebrews 13:5. It says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. I think that goes back to what we were saying earlier about Jesus was, be content. Like, God's there no matter what. Yeah. Like, he's working in your life. He's getting these doors open for you. Like, someone's got to open and close doors. They don't just open and close magically. Like, God's there opening a door, and he's closing a door. So it's just you being content in what he has for you in that time of life. I think we can ask ourselves the question of, what's keeping me from getting to Jesus every day? Like, is there something, if I look at my life right now, is there something that I'm like, wow, like, why am I not 100% for Jesus? Is it because of this job? Is it because of this relationship? Is it because of this sin? Is that what's keeping me from it? This temptation? And because there's no reason, Jack, that in our lives right now that we can't be 100% for God. Like, what's holding us back? I keep saying there's nothing bigger than God, but still I'm only 48%, if that, for Jesus. And there's no reason for it. It's just because I like the devil flashes this in front of me and keeps me in this place in my life.
Yeah.
I think if I was 100% for Jesus, I would be closer to my purpose. The purpose he put me on this world, I'd be closer to it. But because I'm not, I think it's taking me longer to fulfill my purpose on this earth.
Yeah, that's a tricky thing too. And it's a good setup for next week's podcast that we're going to do on devotion. But it's also, it's super hard, man. We look at the just titans of faith in the Bible, like Peter and Paul and John. We look at them like, oh, we'll never achieve. We'll never get to the point that they're at. We'll never be that devout. But, like, why not? Yeah, like what you were saying, like, why can't we?
Yeah.
They were just men. They were fishermen. They were not Scott. Well, Paul was a scholar. But, like, the disciples were not. They were fishermen and farmers and carpenters. They were average people like us. They just felt in love with the Lord. They experienced so many miracles from him and opened their eyes to, like, this is the Messiah. This is him. And they made tons of mistakes, dude. Like, they were not perfect people. They were just given they were just given the authority when that time came because they were the closest people to Jesus, and they were given that power. They were given the authority to build that church, and they made tons of mistakes. Like, we can't miss that. But I don't want to distance ourselves from them and saying, like, we can't get there, because we can. It just requires sacrifice. It requires endangering our own lives for his benefit.
And those are examples, guys. Like, we talk about how Jesus was not around from age 12 to 30, and we're like, why didn't you put that in the Bible? And God's like, I did, guys. Like, the disciples, have you seen the disciples? They were age 12 to 30. So we have the examples there, and you can see they messed up, they failed. I think, when Jesus left, like, when Jesus was here, they were like, oh no, don't bring the kids, don't bring the kids. Like, Jesus is, he's on a roll right now. I don't think you should bring, your kids shouldn't see him right now. It might mess him up, distract him. And Jesus is like, no. Like, the disciples were trying to do something right here. They were trying to help out Jesus, and Jesus is like, no. And so then And they were, Jesus was always correcting them. And I think when Jesus left, they were like always looking over their shoulder for to be corrected. And, you know, Jesus wasn't there anymore. And they were like, I guess this is right. And it wasn't right 100% of the time. And but they learned. They build. We go to church today because Paul, Peter, John, they built a church. They built. They started the new faith.
They died for
it. We were a part of that.
They died for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they gave it up. They gave up their lives for our call, for us in the future, for the millions and billions of believers in the future. And we got to be super grateful for that. But, you know, holding them to a higher standard and saying that's the bar we want to get to, you know. So I think that's really cool. But those guys, yeah, I've been watching this show, The Chosen. Have you seen it?
I have, yeah. Yes.
So they just came out.
Not season two, only season one.
Yeah, then. So they dropped season two on Easter, and they're doing like one episode each week.
Cool.
And so I watched episode two with Jenna and her family, and in that episode was something really cool that I think related to what we were talking about today, where Jesus was walking with Peter. And Peter was getting really mad that they didn't have enough structure. They didn't have enough order among the disciples. And this is all interpreted. There wasn't much in the Bible about like them wanting that, but just showing it was supposed to show that like now's not the time for structure. And so Jesus was saying, now isn't the time. But I admire your leadership, and everybody in this group has been called for a reason. And you don't know what it is yet, but there's a reason why you're here. And your desire for structure and your desire for order, I want you to hold on to that because you're going to need that. And Peter's like, what are you talking about? Dude, I have no idea. Why can't we have it now? Why can't we have it now? And I was watching it, Zach, and I was like, that is me, dude. I was looking at that like, I want that. There's things that I think I need, I think I want, and I'm asking God, why can't I have this right now? Why can't I have this right now? But then we look in the future in the Bible, and then we see Peter and the disciples building up the church for us, dying for it, you know, lifting up their bodies to die for him, you know, becoming martyrs and baptizing, healing people with miracles because they were given authority. And that was when Jesus was talking about, that's when you're going to use structure and order. But back then, like, they had no idea that was coming. And so I'm looking at my life and I'm like, where am I going to be in 10 years? If I choose to follow Jesus right now, the way that they did, who knows where I'm going to be in 10, 20 years, man, what I'm going to be doing.
Right.
You know, we could be sleeping in muddy huts in the jungle, being missionaries to some tribe.
That's right.
You know, or we could be like the president and have the biggest platform in the world to speak the gospel. You know, like it doesn't, we don't know what's coming, but if we choose to follow him now and see that he is the way, 14:6, then like he promises that that's coming, that you're going to be fine. I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you. And that was home for me, that episode. So all you guys listening, I give a shout out to The Chosen. That's a great show. Everybody's got to watch.
How long are their episodes, Jack?
They're like 40 to an hour. It's really nice, not dude. Bad at all. Can binge it.
It's like, dude.
Hashtag binge.
Anyways. Binge Jesus. Hashtag binge Jesus. I like the story. It was kind of following along your lines here. When he's in Galilee and his disciples are like, Jesus, let's go. Like, we have bigger things. Like, we could go to Judea here, and you could spread the word there, and you could do everything there. This is the big platform up here. Why don't we go there? Like, isn't that on the list of things to do? And Jesus is like, I still have work here. I still have work in Galilee. Like, be patient, guys. Like, Judea is coming, but Galilee is here right now. So let's be patient, focus on Galilee. And when we're at Judea, we're at Judea. We'll get there. But right now we're here. And I think that tones into what you were saying earlier when you're like, you're not always gonna, you want to be to Judea, but you're at Galilee right now. You want to be at that point where you're 100%, but you're like, let's be honest, mm-hmm. I'm still 75%, and I'm missing this connection with God, and I'm going to get there, but it's going to take some time.
For sure. That's a great place to stop and to finish off here. Like Zach was saying, if God is calling you to be in Galilee, stay in Galilee right now. But if he's calling you to jump over to Judea or go to the bullpen in Jerusalem, then go for it, you know. But ultimately, you know, Jesus is the way. He's the way to the Father. He's the way to every aspect of your life. So whatever step you're in, whatever season of life you're struggling through or looking forward to, just know that regardless of the ups and downs, that Jesus is the way, and that he's the way to the Father. And so rely on him and trust in him through his word and through prayer. Thank you guys so much for listening. We're very happy to keep doing this. We love hearing from you. The rate and reviews, as well as voice messages on Anchor, send those in. Follow us on Instagram. Kellyanne Drummond doing a great job with the Instagram art. Keep it up, Kelly. Abby, thank you for the producing. Awesome producer, editor. Just broke my pen, but we're closing anyway. Love you guys. Thank you so much. Tune in next week. See ya.
Bye.